Just to recap on a couple of things that, you know, Ronnie was talking about as far as, you know, choices and, you know, as far as to, you know, choice to believe or not to believe, taking the high ground. Something that, excuse me, something that occurred to me just kind of, I was writing some notes down at the time. You know, it may not be just the choice, but rather your ability to discern the choice, having the fortitude to decide and understand that the decision to walk in the Spirit will ultimately garner you life on a higher plane above where you stand today. Now, that being said, honestly, I am trying to walk in the Spirit, but sometimes I have a hitch in my get-along. So I had to get that off of my chest here. All right, we'll start off with an evening prayer here. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of another year in our finite existence, which we've already passed the end of that year, we are moving forward with anticipation of faith in our Savior, Christ Jesus, and giving thanks for the great sacrifice that He made in Christ. Amen. So we are at January 9th, 2024. And tonight's delivery here is regarding some words. And, you know, a lot of times it's very important to know how to use words. And there are a lot of confusing words that would be confusing to people in other languages learning our language, like, you know, two, and two. You know, three twos, which ones do you use at which time? But there are also words that have a different spirit, different sentiment that are spelled the same. And we're going to look at two specifically, and one in the middle that kind of gets tied to another. And those words are repent, sacrifice, and evil. When we look at certain words in the Bible that are used in different instances, it is important to consider their definition and the specificity of usage. Some words have varied definitions and can be used in a sentence to represent different meanings. This must be considered when defining what man does as opposed to what God must do according to His will. In Genesis 6:6, it reads, "And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart." 7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Exodus 32:12-14. Now bear with me for a moment while I go through my notes here again. Here we go. Wherefore, again, this is Exodus 32:12-14. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Again, we're looking at that word repent. It doesn't mean the same for us as it does for God. 2 Samuel 24:16. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil. Let me say that again. When the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah, the Jebusite. That's very important because the Lord repented the angel of the evil. In Jonah 3:9, it says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? In 10, it says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Again, these are perfect examples of repent and repented that do not have the same definition when used in reference to God as opposed to reference to man. Jonah 4:2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, Lord, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Joel 2:13. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. We also look at evil here. It's not the same definition when used in reference to God as it is to man. 1 Chronicles 21:15. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed it, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. I will read from Amos chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Aside from anything else here, it's a perfect example of the Lord listening, and he hears. And again, repent is not the same. In Jeremiah 42:10, if ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. In 18:8, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. I could see where this could be confusing, but it is a matter of, you know, not having that same definition for God as it does for man. And as far as repent of the evil, this is a whole other study. So moving along to Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said that he should repent? And as Cecil says, full stop. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Moving along to Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Just remember that one. In Isaiah 42:9, it is not that God is surprised by certain events and therefore would need to repent of their outcome. It is rather his knowing of all events, and it grieves him the actions that the people employ. In Ezekiel 24:14, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways, and according to thy doings, shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. Neither will I repent according to thy ways. Very telling there. Again, this is an instance here, and in Ezekiel 24, where God states he will not repent. In other words, he is not going to go back on what he has to do, nor what he has done. This does not in any way state that he will never repent. Repenting of a different definition than what we are accustomed to when it's applicable to us. The analogy for Ezekiel 24:14, for those of us who experience discipline by the thin leather belt or switch from the tree or the aerodynamically designed paddle from the school principal is likened to hearing your father say, "This is going to hurt me more than it is going to hurt you." At the time, this statement did not make sense. I felt if I had the belt and was spanking him, then it might prove the comment to be an error. But now, as I have a better understanding of the different expressions within the meanings of the word hurt, I can apply this to the word repent in its relationship to me, the mortal man, and what it means for God to repent. The same can be said for the word evil. Evil in the meaning that is, as it is applied to people, as is of a sinful nature. Evil, such as in Jeremiah 42:10 and Jeremiah 18:8, in relationship to God, is not the same definition. Rather, a definition more of burdened is applicable. The Greek word for evil is poneros. Going back to Jeremiah 18:8, where it states, "Repent of the evil." To reiterate, the same explanation in the analogy above can be applied to the word evil. There is more than one expression or sentiment for these words that is applicable to whom it may pertain in one fashion and from whom or to whom it is direct or from whom it is directed. And move to Jeremiah 26:3 and Jeremiah 26:13. "If so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings." Wow. That's it, the explanation in a nutshell. But I'll continue. 26:13. "Therefore now, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you." This is part of the message that God had instructed Jeremiah to deliver, and the people of Judah listened, and ultimately it was against Jeremiah that was said, "Surely you will die." If the priests and the prophets and the people were unwilling to alter their evil ways and repent, then retribution would be levied against them by God. If retribution can be a proper word to use in this instance. If they were willing to repent their actions, then God was willing to repent what was necessary to do otherwise. Aside from the thankful obedience to God and the worship of God, one of the measures of repentance was a burnt offering sacrifice providing sweet savor to God. We look at Genesis 8:21. "And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. As I have done." 2 Corinthians 2:15. "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish." Very important. "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish." That is powerful to be able to sit here and say that and have that faith, that hope. Numbers 29:8. But ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord for a sweet savor. One young bullock, one ram, and seven lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish. Leviticus 2:9. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Job 1:5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Numbers 15:24. Then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for the burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. Aside from references in the following scriptures here, 2 Corinthians 2:15, again, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Ezekiel 6:13, then shall ye know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars, upon every high hill, in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. Ezekiel 16:9, my meat also which I gave thee, fine flour, and oil, and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel 20:28. For when I had brought them into the land, for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out their drink offerings. Ezekiel 20:41. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. Again, I say, aside from the references in these scriptures, the term sweet savor is used primarily starting in Genesis after Noah's sacrifice to God and continuing on through Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. The last directive for a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, a sweet savor, appears to be in Numbers 29:36. But don't take my word for it. If you find another place where it specifically calls for it, rather than referencing back to a time of calling for it, by all means, let me know. So in Numbers 29:36, it says, but ye shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord, one bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without blemish. Now, Hezekiah, And I think he reigned somewhere between 700 and 700 and 678, I think, was a number B.C. Hezekiah, during his reign in Jerusalem, spoke of the cessation of offerings in 2 Chronicles 29:7. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Hezekiah gathered the rulers of the city and proceeded to cleanse the house of the Lord so that the service thereof was thus restored. 2 Chronicles 29:18. Then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof." 2 Chronicles 29:31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of free heart burnt offerings. Let us visit these terms for a moment to address the clarity. Micah 2:3. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil." 1 Kings 21:29. "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." Whereas evil is defined in reference to that which is in the hearts of men and the actions that they take that are contrary to what God would have them do. Defining evil, when it is a measure that is delivered by God, the definition is more of a burdensome act that is delivered by God upon men for atonement. Returning to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 8 through 11, again we see examples of the term evil and repent within their applicable definition and usage. "If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." Not that I want to actually change the words, but if they don't turn from their evil, I will not take the action that I thought to do unto them in response to their sins, in response to their evil. And in verse 9, "And at what instant shall I speak concerning the nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it?" 10. Jeremiah 18:10. "If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good. I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. I will take away the good. I will dispense with the good." And in 11, "Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. The definition of evil that God lays upon man refers to the burdensome act as a measure of discipline. It is not necessarily a retaliatory, knee-jerk reaction to man's delving into matters of evil, nor can it be equated to how man meets out transgression. Man, having a sinful nature, has always historically harbored evil in his heart. Thus, the same definition of evil cannot be applied with actions made by God. And the same can be said for repent. We, if compelled, repent of our sins. God, however, repents of the necessary actions he must take in response to our sinful actions. And as far as savor is concerned, well, let me go back one here. We look at the sacrifice. We look at that, and we do the sacrifice in repentance for some of our sins. Sin sacrifices. That's, you know, repenting of those evils that we have committed, those sins we have committed. So, and again, as far as savor is concerned, we look again to 2 Corinthians 2:15. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Loosely applied to the following three scriptures are of importance when looking to the words we choose, the words we read with direction and definition. Proverbs 25:11-13. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. As far as we being a sweet savor unto God, I think it can all be summed up in short with these scriptures from Philippians. Philippians 2:14-15. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Those scriptures were presented to me by my wonderful wife, wonderful and lovely wife, Lorna. And it sits on my desk as a reminder here in front of me. Thank you, folks, for listening. And Roger, I trust you're still there. Lord, we thank you for the time, ability, the wisdom to study your inspired words in your book of love and guidance. We come together in like-minded fashion to study and show ourselves approved unto you, Lord, in Christ our head.